CD 9.
The scream came from the audience. The Duke was half risen from his seat, his tortured knuckles in his mouth. As they watched, he lurched forward between the shocked people.
No! I did not do it. It was not like that. You cannot say it was like that. You were not there!
He stared at the upturned faces around him and sagged.
Nor was I!
He giggled.
I was asleep at the time, you know. I remember it quite well. There was blood on the counterpane. There was blood on the floor. I could not wash off the blood. But these are not proper subjects for the inquiry. I cannot allow the discussion of national security. It was just a dream. And when I awoke, he'd be alive tomorrow. And tomorrow, it wouldn't have happened because it was not done. And tomorrow you can say, I did not know. And tomorrow you can say, I had no recollection. What a noise he made in falling, enough to wake the dead. Who'd have thought he had so much blood in him?
By now, he had climbed onto the stage and grinned brightly at the assembled company.
I hope that sorts it all out,
he said. In the silence that followed, Tom John opened his mouth to utter something suitable, something soothing, and found that there was nothing he could say. But another personality stepped into him, took over his lips, and spoke thusly.
With my own bloody dagger, you bastard! I know it was you. I saw you at the top of the stairs, sucking your thumb. I'd kill you now, except for the thought of having to spend eternity listening to your whining. I, Verenz, formerly king of...
What testimony is this?
Said the Duchess. She stood in front of the stage, with half a dozen soldiers beside her.
These are just slanders,
she added.
And treason to boot, the rantings of mad players.
I was bloody king of Lancre,
shouted Tom John.
In which case you are the alleged victim,
said the Duchess calmly.
And unable to speak for the prosecution. It is against all precedent.
Tom John's body turned towards death.
You were there. You saw it all.
I suspect I would not be considered an appropriate witness.
Therefore, there is no proof. And where there is no proof, there is no crime,
said the Duchess. She motioned the soldiers forward.
So much for your experiment,
she said to her husband.
I think my way is better.
She looked around the stage and found the witches.
Arrest them,
she said. No, said the fool, stepping out of the wings.
What did you say?
I saw it all, said the fool simply. I was in the great hall that night. You killed the king, my lord.
I did not,
screamed the Duke.
You are not there. I did not see you there. I order you not to be there.
You did not dare say this before,
said Lady Felmet.
Yes, lady, but I must say it now.
The Duke focused unsteadily on him.
You swore loyalty unto death, my fool,
he hissed. Yes, my lord, I'm sorry.
You're dead!
The Duke snatched a dagger from Winslow's unresisting hand, darted forward, and plunged it to the hilt into the fool's heart. McGrath screamed. The fool rocked back and forth unsteadily.
Thank goodness that's over, he said, as McGrath pushed her way through the actors and clasped him to what could charitably be called her bosom.
It struck the fool that he had never looked at a bosom squarely in the face, at least since he was a baby, and it was particularly cruel of the world to save the experience until after he was dead. He gently moved one of McGrath's arms and pulled the despicable horned cowl from his head and tossed it as far as possible. He didn't have to be a fool anymore, or, he realised, bother about vows or anything. What with bosoms as well, death seemed to be an improvement.
I didn't do it.